Welcome to Doing My Part for the Left. This is Refinish 69, your host. Doing My Part for the Left is a proud member of
the Progressive Podcast Network.
ProgressivePodcastNetwork.org.
Be sure and check out some of the other great shows over at the ProgressivePodcastNetwork.org. It's a group of people doing the same thing that I'm doing, trying to get the message out. Trying to talk to people about the issues, about elections, trying to make this a better world for all people. And that's what it's all about, folks. We have to take the world back from the neocons and from the idiots who have tried to use their hate, their prejudice, and divisiveness to destroy the world and control it. We want to make this a better place for all people. I'm going to start the show with a song by Bonnie Raitt. It's called Fool's Game from Silver Lining. I love this song, and when I come back, I'll talk about some of the politicians that are playing fool's games.
Bad mistake, a crying shame, get caught playing a damn fool's game. Bad mistake is a crying shame, get caught playing a damn fool's game. It's a fool thing.
Be dragged down by the man. Now that
a damn fool's game.
Please buy the CDs, folks. Don't steal the music. I buy them so I can use them in the shows. And, of course, Bonnie Raitt's one of my favorites of all times. Now, let's talk about who I think's been playing a damn fool's game. Well, to be very honest with you, we're going to talk about presidential politics. In the last few weeks, I've seen Hillary go from a very proud woman running a campaign, even though she was losing, to playing dirty tricks and acting very much like Republicans and the neocons have in the last few elections to make sure they win. Her 3 a.m. commercial was one of the most despicable examples of neocon advertising I've seen in a long time. And considering it came from a Democrat against another Democrat, I'm ashamed for her. When her supporter, Geraldine Ferraro, came out with her racist comments and Hillary did not speak up or say anything against what Ferraro was saying, it was even worse. And then for Hillary to say that John McCain had more experience in international affairs and it was a choice between her and McCain, and to basically endorse a Republican over her Democratic opponent, Barack Obama, that showed a desperation and a side of Hillary I never wanted to see. I wrote a letter to Hillary telling her what I thought, and I'm going to read it to you now. Dear Senator, you say you want to be president, to be a leader for the American people. Your campaign and rhetoric is showing anything but true leadership. Your negativity and whining to win at any cost are ripping the Democratic Party apart, and you seem not to care at all. This is not about another line to add to your resume, but about the future of America. In the last month, you have suddenly become the champion of the Florida and Michigan voters when you earlier agreed to abide by party rules when both delegations were denied. You only changed your mind when you realized you were behind in the popular vote and delegate count. Your campaign, which speaks for you, is now threatening to sue the Texas Democratic Party because you lost the caucus part of the Democratic primary here. Sounds like sour grapes or just plain whining to me. Texas is proud to have had the largest voter turnout in decades and more people active in the precinct conventions than ever before. You now want to negate all the hard work and effort people made to attend and do their best to be part of the democratic process because you didn't win. Is this a sign of leadership or just a spoiled brat acting out? Your callous statement that McCain is a more experienced leader in international affairs and would better handle a crisis than Barack Obama showed that you no longer care about America or the American people, but just your fight to stay alive in a political campaign that you are losing. The negativity of your 3 a.m. ad was a tactic taken straight from Karl Rove's playbook on how to defeat Democrats and should have been beneath you, but wasn't. Your hesitation and vague answer when asked did you believe Barack Obama was a Muslim just added fire to a rumor the Republicans have been spreading for months. Instead of asking for Geraldine Ferraro to step down and apologize for her racist comments about Obama's candidacy, you let it keep playing out in the media. If someone had stated you were only in your position because you were a female, you would have been the first one screaming at the top of your lungs. At one time, I respected the work you had done and was proud of your candidacy and what you were bringing to the picture in American politics and history. I can only say now that I am ashamed of you and your pettiness. The Democratic Party and the nation would be better served if you dropped out of the race and saved us all from your fight to stay alive in a race you have lost. You seem to have gotten the big picture. This is about America, not Hillary. Respectfully yours, Revenge 69, Worried Democrat. Now, I said these words, or wrote these words, and I mean them, and I mean everyone. I do respect Hillary for what she's done. I respect what she did as the First Lady in Arkansas, what she did as the First Lady in America, and what she's done as a senator from New York. I do not respect what she's doing now and what she's doing just to try and stay alive and to win a race that, let's be real, she's actually lost. She is behind in the popular vote. She's behind in the delegate count. And there's no way without something drastic happening for her to catch up or to win. What she needs to do is drop out and admit she lost and quit trying to play Karl Rove's handmaiden to win an election. It's not impressive. It's actually disgusting, to be honest with you. Now, anyone that's been listening to the show for a while knows that I was supporting John Edwards right up until the time he dropped out of the race, and it took me a while to decide who to support. And what I did is I sent out emails to a lot of bloggers that I know all across the nation and asked them to send me their reasons for supporting their candidate. And I said, don't send me negativity because I don't want to hear it. I really just cannot deal with it. I can write books on negativity on every candidate because I was not happy. Well, after reading all the different emails that I got, and I got about 400 of them, I came to a decision, and I decided to support Barack Obama for President of the United States. I feel like I'm in a history-making process now. His message of hope, where he is actually building a coalition between a lot of different people, a lot of different walks of life, whether it's the GLBT community, whether it's women, whether it's middle class, poor, or rich, whether it's Democrat, Republican, or independent, is something we have not seen in decades, folks. We have not seen this type of reaching across lines for one single candidate in my lifetime, I don't think. And I'll be 50 in November. I like the excitement. I like seeing young, old, middle class, and all races excited about a race. I've met people since I've become involved in the campaign as a volunteer from all walks of life. A retired school teacher, a lawyer from LA, young people who have never voted in an election before at the precinct caucus or convention here in Texas. As I was walking around talking to people all night long, trying to get them in, trying to get them signed in, because we had 359 people sign in, so that takes a lot of time. I had a lady outside when I was going outside to talk to the crowd to try and keep everybody happy, and for the most part, they all were. But she was excited. She was telling me, I'm here with my granddaughter, and she voted for her first time, and we're both here together. Now, I've worked doing data entry from a lot of the precinct caucuses, and you'll see where entire families went in to the precinct caucuses together and signed in together and were there for their candidate, or even if it was a family where they were supporting different candidates, but it was families voting together and talking politics, and not just talking politics, talking about making a difference and supporting the candidate that they believed could actually make a difference in the United States. And let's be real, if we can get America back where it should be, we can actually make a difference in the world again. Instead of being disliked by much of the free world and non-free world, but we can actually be involved again and be involved as the type of country we want to be involved as. I'm going to find another song, then we'll go on from here.
Today, you saw the face of God and love. Would you change? Would you change? If you knew that love can't break your heart, when you're down so low, you cannot fall. Would you change? Would you change? How bad, how good does it need to get? How many losses, how much regret? What chain reaction would cause an effect? Makes you turn around, makes you try to explain, makes you forgive and forget.
makes you change.
Tracy Chapman singing Change from her CD, Where You Live. And change is what it's all about, folks. We have to be the change. We can have hope. We can have dreams. We can have wishes. We can get inspiration from speeches, from politicians, and from the coalition that's being built to make a difference. But we're going to be the change. It is a season of hope. And it is a season of change that is coming, and we have to be willing to do the work and make sure that that change happens by supporting Barack Obama for president and other good Democrats who are out there that actually want to make a difference and stop the insanity that's been going on for the past 7 years under the Bush regime and under the past 12 or more years under the Republicans, who have stripped America of its freedoms, tried to use divisiveness, bigotry, and hatred to get their words out. We have to stop them. And the only way we can stop them is by voting them out of office, supporting the people that we think can make a difference, and then holding those people accountable. Just because someone is elected does not mean they're anointed. We can vote them right back out of office the next time they come up for election. We can find people to primary against them in the different states. There are some phenomenal candidates running this year in all the different states. We have Rick Noriega, who's running for Senate here in the U.S. to take out John Cornyn in D.C. John Cornyn, who's affectionately known as Box Turtle Cornyn, because he'll vote anything that Rove or Bush tell him to, but doesn't have a mind of his own and pulls into his little shell to hide himself. Well, it's time to get rid of people like this. It's time to make a change. It's time to make this a better America for all people. And that's what I'm going to fight to do. It's what I've been doing my entire life. I've been involved in politics and civil rights since I was 8 years old. I'll be 50 right after the November election. And I'm getting tired, but I'm never going to be too tired to fight, and I'm never going to give up the fight, because I know the America I dream of and the America that we can be is there. We just have to work to make it happen. I hope you'll join in this fight. I hope you'll vote for Barack Obama. I hope you'll check out Rick Noriega's website and also help support him. And also help support Jim Neal, who's running against Elizabeth Dole in North Carolina. Because we need people who actually care about America in office. We need to stop these haters. Now, I want to read you another story that actually I didn't write. This is a story I heard about from a young man, and it was after Barack Obama did his speech about race and politics. And this is a young man who wrote about his experience on the day that the speech came out. And I think it's something everyone should hear, because it's a story that brings so much to the forefront. His title for his story is A Trip to the Gas Station. No, it's not a Curious George book. Yesterday, as Barack was giving his speech, I took a break at work so I could watch. I knew then that it was historic. I knew then that he was so much more than a politician. I knew then he was a visionary. My day went on as usual, finishing work. I came home, changed clothes, and went to work out. I wore, as I often do, one of my 5 Obama t-shirts. So I finished working out, and it was a tough workout. I was exhausted, sweaty, nasty, and just wanted to go home, shower, and relax. But I had to get gas, and I am so glad I did. I pull in, and it was windy as could be, and start pumping my gas. Then this huge blue truck with a guy in his 40s, beard, rough-looking, actually gets out. I notice he's staring at me, and I'm thinking, okay, this is it. I'm going to get my ass beat right here for being a white, gay Obama supporter from Kentucky. With a deep southern drawl, he says, I like him. Who, I think? That man's got it. He's smart. He's real. Insert cursing anti-Hillary remarks here, and he's got my vote. That's great, I say, not only because he's supporting Barack, but because it looks like my life has just been spared. Then I asked him if he saw the speech. Yup. That's why I'm voting for him. If he can change my mind and let me see the error of my ways, he can sure as hell change this country. Wow, I'm thinking. Then I remember I had an extra Obama Yes We Can bracelet in my pocket. I reach in, pull it out, and toss it to him, telling him what it is and pointing to the one on my wrist. You would have thought I had just given him $1,000,000. Then he does something I will never forget as long as I live. He goes to the back of his truck and slowly peels off a Confederate flag bumper sticker, The South Will Rise Again, right next to a Sportsman for Bush bumper sticker, and tosses it in the garbage. The ironic thing about all this is that both the worst experience in my life and one of the best experiences of my life happened at a gas station. As you may recall, in 2006, I was stabbed in a restroom at a gas station because I was gay. Barack Obama is our next great president. Just ask the gun-waving redneck that turned out to be one of the kindest people I've ever met, kind of guy who he's voting for. Pass this along as you wish, and thanks for reading. We can change the world. Ted. That story moved me. I was crying. I've been attacked. Having been the victim of hate crimes not once, but 3 or more times, Before we even had a term for them, I understand this young man's story and the hope that Obama's speech gives to many as we see how everyday Americans respond to it. People can call it rhetoric and hype and get tired of hearing Obama and his supporters talk about hope. But after the results of the past 12 or more years of divisive politics and politically and religiously endorsed bigotry, maybe hope is what this country needs. This is what it's all about, folks. It's making a change. It's making a difference. And we can do it. I'm going to end the show with Rob Thomas's Street Corner Symphony. It's the song that I used as a theme song for the Edwards campaign, up until he dropped out of the race. And my thing is, because so many Edwards supporters have switched over to Obama, and also I'm seeing the coalition of supporters that are out there, all ages, all races, all creeds, who really do want to make a difference in America and in the world, I think it's a perfect song for his campaign. Hope you enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy the show, and you'll come back and listen again.
It's morning, I wake up, the taste of summer sweetness on my mind. It's a clear day in this city, let's go dance under the streetlights. All the people in this world, let's come together more than ever. I can feel it, can you feel it? To the corner of my sisters and my brothers of every different color, don't you
feel that sunshine?
Telling you to hold tight, things will be alright. Try to find a better life.
Come on over.
Down to the corner of my sisters and my brothers, there for one another, won't you?
Come on over.
Man, I know you wanna let yourself go. Some people, it's a pity, they go all their lives and never know how to love or to let love go. But it's all right now, we'll make it through this somehow, and we'll paint the perfect picture. All the colors of this world will run together more than ever. I can feel it, can you feel it? The corner of my sisters and my brothers of every different color, don't you
feel that sunshine?
Telling you to hold tight, things will be alright. Try to find a better life.
Come on over.
Down to the corner of my sisters and my brothers, there for one another, won't you?
Come on over.
Man, I know you wanna let yourself go. Let yourself go.
Come on over.
Well, down to the corner, we can leave it all behind. Never been a better time.
Come on.